Good morning. Bring your greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good for me to be here. I enjoyed the Sunday school discussion as well. And also that song, Brent, thank you for that. It goes well with the message this morning. And then Alan's devotional. I wanted that verse in my message, and I totally forgot about it, but it goes well with what I had to share. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what I'd like to think about this morning, our thoughts. Does it really matter what you think? No other person can see into your mind, see what's going on in there, know what you're thinking. Our thought life is a pretty private area, and at first it may seem like what I think doesn't matter much, but it really does. Think about a jet. What makes a jet fly? You may say it's the wings. The enormous Airbus A380 has an impressive wingspan of 262 feet. I went out to the playground this morning, stepped it off, and I think if I did it right, I came up with 240 feet from the ball field to from the ball diamond, from the backstop to the pump house. An Airbus wouldn't fit in there. But that impressive wingspan, the jet sitting at the end of the runway, sitting still, the wings do not make it fly. It takes more than just the wings. You might say it's the powerful jet engines that make this giant airliner fly. Put four of these Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines with a total of 280,000 pounds of thrust. Set that full throttle on this jet. With wings, uncontrolled, no one on board. It may fly all right, but it won't go very far without a major catastrophe. It takes more than just wings. It takes more than just engines. There's so much potential in the wings, so much potential in those engines. But if it's not controlled, if it's not guided, much damage will take place. And in every jet that I've flown in, up at the front, there's a little room, it's called the cockpit, and it's big enough for two or three people to fit into. It's the control center for the whole machine, and if you've ever been in a cockpit, there's lots of buttons, lots of switches, dials, gauges, and displays. A button pushed here, a knob turned there, it determines if the plane will go to Miami or if it will go to Seattle, or it will even determine if it will crash or get lost in the ocean. Our mind is like the cockpit. What happens in the cockpit determines the success or failure of the flight. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Cockpits can't fly themselves. It takes a pilot inside the cockpit. Takes a pilot at the controls. I realize there may be some unmanned aircraft out there, but at the back end of it somewhere, there's a pilot or a technician that has programmed the flight path, or a mission control guiding that vessel. But there's a pilot behind at the control. And our minds need a pilot in control. Whoever controls the mind controls the life. And both God and Satan want that control, and that's the battlefield for your life. Your mind is the battlefield for your life. Who are you going to let control your mind? You know, what you think determines how your life will turn out. How you think, which is called your attitude. That will determine your attitude, whether you're soaring or whether you're going to crash into the ground. If you have a negative attitude, if you allow yourself to dwell on negative thoughts, if you are grumpy at your life circumstances, if you have a victim or a pity me outlook, you're going to lose altitude. You're going to head toward the ground. You better be aware of a crash. But if you have God controlling your mind, then I believe you'll have a positive attitude, a positive outlook, a thankful thoughts. I don't believe it ever means you will never be discouraged or that you will never be sad, but you won't stay there. I believe God will help you. You will correct. God will help you pull out of that low time. I believe you will be an uplifting and encouraging person to be around. You will dwell on the blessings. I will try to learn and grow from my failures or bad circumstances that happen to me in life. That kind of attitude will gain altitude, and you can lift off and fly the upward way. What kind of attitude do I have? What direction is the altitude in my life? Am I heading pointing down or am I pointing upward? Some serious questions to ponder and think about. And like Alan said, to have the mind of Christ, it's going to require the power of Christ. If we try to be our own pilot, try to control our own minds, try to control our own thoughts, bring every thought into captivity, how can we do that on our own? We can't. We need God's power. We need God as our pilot. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." God does that work. God transforms us. He renews our mind. Surrender, not struggle, is the key. As I understand it, when a pilot and a co-pilot switch roles, switch controls, they clearly state their intentions. They tell the co-pilot, "I'm handing you the controls," and the co-pilot responds, "I have the controls now." And that's what we need to do. They acknowledge, they surrender the controls to the other person. So what we need to do with Christ, surrender the controls to him. "Lord, I give you the controls." And Jesus responds, "Yes, child, I have the controls now." It's not that we don't have anything more to do when we give him the controls. There's still plenty of work we must do in the cockpit. There's still plenty of, we have a part to play as well. But we won't be successful until we surrender to Christ. Let him be our guide and let him be the pilot in control. What is our task? Turn to Philippians 4. I'm planning at this point to do a series of sermons on Philippians 4, verse 8. I'm not sure how it will go yet, but I'd like to focus on each of these whatsoever things that we are to think about. I may combine some of these into one. We'll see. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." It's quite a list here. Notice that they're all positive. They're all pointing upward. There's no room for negative thinking. For today, I'd like to focus on the first one, whatsoever things are true. What is truth? We live in a world of turmoil, confusion, darkness, misinformation, lies, mistrust. What is truth? Do we really know? can we know? Many people have become amoral. They're unconcerned with rightness or wrongness. They just do what they want to do. It doesn't matter. They don't care how they live. They don't care about truth unless it benefits them. Do we know what truth is? Is the world's thinking affecting our thinking? Do we care about truth? I think we all do. Do I have a vision that's alive for spiritual truth to grow in my heart? Are you excited about it? Or are there things that you're confused about? Are there a lot of gray areas in your mind that you don't know where you stand on things? Do we recognize that we each have blind spots, that we need others to help us see clearly? Do we invite that? Are we open to that? Do we ask others to show us where we may be blinded? What is truth? There's one certain answer. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word is truth. God's word is truth that always was from the beginning, always will be. And it endures forever. To know the truth, you must immerse yourself in God's word. Filling your mind with the word of God daily is critical in true thinking, true thoughts. The only way to know whether your thoughts are true is to stay rooted in God's revealed truth of his word. Let's define truth further. The Greek word for the word true in Philippians, it means unconcealed, true in fact, that what can't be hidden, worthy of credit, truthful. Those are the kinds of thoughts that we need to have. A Hebrew word for truth means stability, certainty, sureness. Pretty much rules out thoughts that are questionable, surmisings, imaginations, jumping to conclusions, things that are hidden. But we need to think thoughts of stability, certainty, sureness. Turn to John 14. Verse 6. Where does truth come from? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is the source of truth. The opposite of truth is lies, deception, error, falsehood. And Satan is the father of lies. He spreads question marks. He loves confusion. Think about the lie that he told Eve. Yea, hath God said, he put a question in her mind, planted a seed of doubt. Did God really mean what he said? Instead of thinking on truth, she thought on the lie, the question, the doubt, until she was fully convinced that God was holding her back. And Satan is still using that tactic today. Did God really mean what he said? Puts a question mark in your mind. God is holding something back from you. Look what you're missing out on. On and on, Satan will send his fiery darts into our mind, but we can quench them with the shield of faith. Stay close to the truth. Think on things that are true. Now I'd like to think about what truth does to our minds. What truth does to our minds? There's power in truth. Why is there power in truth? Because it's who God is. God is a God of power. It's what he is about. It's how he does his work. He uses truth to accomplish his purposes. Focusing on the truth has power. Turn to James 1. What does truth do for us? James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Truth brings us to Christ, brings us into a relationship with him. It makes us a kind of first fruits of his creatures, it says here. God desires, God gave us a gift of salvation. He desires a relationship, and we can experience that when we have truth in our thoughts, when we think on things that are true. Turn to John 3. John 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Truth brings us to the light. Truth reveals what's inside. There's no covering up. There's nothing hidden. But fully opening up, exposing, laying it all out in the light. Satan despises light. He wants his deeds in darkness. He wants them covered up and hidden. But when you think on things that are true, you will find that you can see clearly because the light of God is shining there. The light of God is shining on your heart, shining in your mind. In your life, truth brings us to the light. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth sets us free. Truth frees us by tearing down false ideas, tearing down questionings and reasonings that keep us in fear and bondage. Satan wants us to stay in bondage. He wants us to be bound, but truth sets us free. True thinking is freeing and refreshing. It's not confining or tortuous or twisted, but it's tried and true. How do we get this truth? It says here, if ye continue in my word, obedience. Again, stay close to the truth. Think on things that are true. And turn back to John 4. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth helps us to worship God. The only way to worship God is in spirit and in truth. We need to have a true mind, pure heart to worship. And then another thing that truth does for us, turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Truth purges us from iniquity. Lust and addiction hold many people in bondage, and it is a battle of the mind to be free from that. It all happens in your mind, your thought life. If you are captive to this kind of sin, you need spiritual cleansing. You need God's power to be purged from this. It's possible with truth, with mercy, crying out to God for mercy, repentance, and then surrender the controls to Him. Fill your mind with God's truth. Never look back. Psalm 119, verse 9, says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Stay close to truth. Think on things that are true. All right, now I'd like to look at some conditions for true thinking. How can we learn to think about things that are true? It takes initiative. It takes diligence. We can't just expect it to happen by itself, but it's a choice. Takes a lot of training. Takes a lot of effort. Just like it takes a lot of training to be able to fly the Airbus, pilots must have at least 1,500 hours to be able to fly one of them. We need effort. We need training. Study the word. Be in prayer. Ask God to help you. And most importantly, rely on the strength of God. We need God's help and power in this, and it takes humility to admit that. We can't just fake it and say that we are thinking things that are true, but the fruits of your thoughts will be made known. God already knows your thoughts. God knows. Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought far off. Another condition, we need to fill our souls with truth. James 1. Verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We need to fill our souls with truth. Receive the engrafted word. Take it to heart. We need to study the meaning of truth. 2 Timothy, verse 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the meaning of truth. Get in the word. Learn it. Put it to heart. Like we talked in Sunday school, seek it and find it. Take a step. God will lead you step by step. Another thing we need to do is we need to learn to answer with truth. Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing. Maybe I got the wrong verse. thinking it said something about, yeah, there it is, verse 21. That I might make thee known, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. We need to have an answer. Answer with truth. There's power in answering with the word of truth. Another condition is we need to walk in fellowship with other believers. 1 John 1. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thinking true thoughts will give us fellowship one with another. And then we need to do good deeds. Proverbs 14:22. Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. And then Hebrews 10. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. When we love truth, we will help each other do good works, help each other in love. Then another condition of thinking true thoughts is we need to test the spirits. 1 John 4. Verses 1 and 2. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Test the spirits. Truth helps us to do that. Whatsoever things are true, we need to think on them. And this week, I encourage you to take inventory of your thought life. What are you thinking? Are they true? Do they line up with the Word of God? There's many verses that talk about truth. Do they line up with the whole Word of God? Are you focusing on truth or questions and doubts? What is your altitude indicator showing? Are you pointing upward? Are you pointing downward, descending or climbing? Those that are closest to truth are closest to God. Those that are closest to truth are closest to God. Let's stay close to God, and we can be victorious in this. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today.